for a subject for today. It's on your program. God wants to do a new thing. And I'm going to stop right there and pause, and I might finish it. Not in everybody else's life. Not in your neighbor's life. Not in the person that talk too long. Not in the person that sing too long. Not in the person that preach too long. But in your own life. We need to allow God to do a new thing in our lives. And if we do not allow him to do a new thing in our lives, he will not do it. And it's not because he does not want to. It's because we will not allow him to. God will not force his way into your life. He will not force his lifestyle upon you. You have to want it. You have to desire it. You have to seek after it. Just because you come to church, just because you preach, just because you pray, just because you sing, or just because you play an instrument, or just because you are a member of a church, it does not mean that you will allow God to do a new thing in your life. You have to allow, you have to want it. If you don't want it, it will not be there. Might not get no amen today. That's why I brought my own. I brought my own, and I got them in me. If you don't believe it, just speak a word. And I'll say amen, amen if it's the word of God. Amen. People can be kidnapped and sold into slavery for sexual pleasures, for building up a workforce, for revenge, or for a host of other events. Ushers, you may take your seat. But then when a ransom is demanded for the release of the kidnapped person, the cost is usually high. The people of Israel had fallen deep into sin. God had given them over to be punished. And God also had given them his word to teach them to believe him and live a righteous life. No other people had ever been blessed so richly as they. God had given them an awesome responsibility of sharing his word with the world. Brothers and sisters, and you have that same responsibility today if you are born again, sanctified, set apart, and full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, yes. You have that right to share this wealth with everybody else. The children of God are rich. Might not have a dime in my pocket, but I'm rich because of who my Father is. I don't have a whole lot of stuff, but my daddy got it. And what belonged to my daddy, I am an inheritance of that. And amen. Amen. I'm going to try to stick with my stuff here, because the Israelites were suffering God's punishment because they had disobeyed his law. Brothers and sisters, and that has not changed. If you profess to be a child of God and you disobey, you will be, not maybe, you will be disciplined, or you will be punished. Due to their sin, God had allowed them to be imprisoned and enslaved by an enemy. God, the enemy that we have now that enslaves us, is just a little three-letter word called sin. Sin will shackle you to himself. and he will not allow you to leave him. You do not have the keys. You do not see a policeman put handcuffs on people and then give the people the key to the handcuffs. He guarded that with his life. So the devil will not give you the key to unlock the shackle of sin from you. But then there's a source of redemption, and that is the Lord. In the midst of all their awful affliction, the people needed to remember a significant fact. The Lord himself had created and formed them into the nation of Israel. See, when you remember where you come from, when you remember who your parents are, then your head ought to come up out of the dirt. You ought to, Rabbi, you ought to brush yourself off. And you ought to stick your chest out and say, I'm somebody. I might be in a hog pen and might smell like hog, but I know where I can change. I can go to my daddy's house. When we decide to allow God to do a new thing in our life, you got to turn around and you got to leave from where you are. You can't stay in the hog pen and allow God to do a new thing in your life. If God would have decided for us to stay in 2011, 2012, never would have arrived. But God decided that it was time to leave from where we were and bring you to a new thing. Now it's time for God to allow God to do a new thing in your life. The children of Israel had to remember that God had redeemed them. And now God was promising to deliver them from the captive. So you can't forget what God done already told you. He said, I won't leave you, nor will I forsake you. He said, the devil in hell can't pluck you out of my hand if you're my child. See, sometimes as children of God, we forget what God have already told us. And we want him to write a new book. I stop by to tell you, he's not going to write a new book. He's going to do the old book. That's why sometimes we need to stop doing all this new stuff and go back to what got us to where we are now. And I'll stop by and bust that bubble too. What got you where you are now won't keep you where you are now. You need to get some more God down on the inside of you to bring it out of you. The other thing that they needed to know, and all of us as children of God, you need to get this in your spirit. God know every one of us, and he knows us by name. He won't call you somebody else when it's time to bless you. God is getting ready to do a new thing. If the children of God will only wake up and realize what you have. See, sometimes you can't move because you don't know that you're free. They tell me that you can train a flea that's on a dog. That's all you got to do is get the flea, put him in a pint jar, and close the lid. The flea will continue to jump, and he'll hit that lid, and he'll go back down to the bottom. After he's done that for 4 or 5 days, take the top off the lid and the flea won't come out because his mind have been adjusted to only going so far. That's what we do as Christians. We put a jaw on God. We put a lid on what God can do for you. And you say, God, provide me with a place to stay. And God provides you with a place to stay. And you put a lid on the jaw. You know, and you don't ever take it off. And you just jump up and hit the top of the lid. And when God take off the top, that's still as high as you will jump. You need to understand that you need to get out of the jar. God does not have a lid on the promises that he promises children. I know you. I know where you are, and I know what you need. What God bless you with today, don't you try to get him to bless you with that tomorrow. It ought to be something different. God will bless you. God is getting ready to do a new thing in your life, but you have to allow him to do those things. Point number one, God will defeat all the enemy who opposes his people. You can find that in verses 14 through 17. Nobody, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you're from, nobody can reverse the work of God that God has to do, or that God's going to do among his people. God guarantees to deliver his people because he is their redeemer. I'm glad you asked, what is a redeemer? A redeemer is somebody that buys you back when you ought to stay where you are. But God said, I am your redeemer. I am your savior. He's the Holy One. God called himself the Holy One. He could only call himself the Holy One because he knew what a Holy One looked like. Some of us can't call him holy because we don't know what he looked like. We can't be holy because we don't want to recognize what God looked like. But I stop by to tell you that God is holy. Holy is a redeemer, a savior, a one that does righteousness, one that never makes a mistake. He's always right. I might not understand it, but he's always right. I ask him to give me grace enough to understand. His word might not have it now, but it's coming. It's on the way because my daddy always provide just what I need. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the new thing that you are going to do. God, get me ready for the new thing that you're going to do in my life. Thank you, Lord, for defeating all of my enemies. He guaranteed that his people would be delivered. His holy perfection demands that he do what is right. God just can't do wrong because he's holy and he's righteous and he judges himself and he judges himself by himself. Got nothing else to judge him by. He's just God all by himself. I don't care what your situation is. If you give it to God, he will provide just what you need. Might not be what you want, but he will deliver you. Yes, he will. In dealing with his people. Now listen, y'all have to excuse me. Everybody, help me, Lord. Just or not in the family. Everybody, y'all have to excuse me. I'm just me. I pray that, I hope this is not true, but in most congregations, everybody that walk in that door, that stay in that sanctuary, you just ain't. You just ain't. You just ain't a child of God. You ain't in the family. God created you and you were born, but you're not in the family. To be in the family, you got to have the right DNA. Somebody got the wrong DNA. That's what's in them genes that say you a child of God. If it say you a child of God, you got to walk different. Nobody else might not know it, but I know. I know that I walk different now. I know that I look different. Got the same face, got the same body, but I'm different. And I can tell you why. Because something way down on the inside of me, read up and said, you a child of God. And I said, show me what a child of God looked like. He said, start reading and studying. And forget, this is what we do. We don't want to forget those things that are behind us. We want to bring them with us. I stopped by to tell you, you can't take all this junk in God's house. You can't take all this junk in God's house. And let me tell you something. And I ain't trying to put no crutches under no preachers on. But just because you come in and the preacher don't put you out, it ain't the preacher's job to put you out. Jesus said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. And when I come back, I will do the separating. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to preach to you. And you can keep sinning and fooling Dwight Baggett if you want to. But Dwight Baggett is trying to get to heaven just like you. But when Jesus comes, He'll do a new thing. You can fool me because I want to believe you're saved. I want to believe that when you leave here, the messages and the songs and the prayers that you're gonna put it in effect in your life. I want to believe that because that's what I did. And I want to believe if God will allow me to do that, he will allow you to do that. Yes, 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 yes. When God's people are oppressed, the ethical and the righteous action is always to deliver them from their oppressor. And I know we're celebrating Dr. King's birthday today and everything, and talking about oppressed and oppressors. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can get free from some shackles down here on earth. But the major shackle. I do it to Dwight Bagger like this. I say, sin is that shackle that they put around my waist when I'm in jail. You know, when you go to jail and they let you come out, sometimes they put a shackle around your waist. And they put one, if you're real bad, they'll shackle your arms right here sometime. And then they'll put two on your feet. And here you go, right here. This is it. This is it. Well, some church folks, this is how you walk around in your spiritual life, just like this right here. You bound because you got sin that you think nobody don't know about. It's there. It is there. Sin will shackle you. And I said earlier, you will not have the key. You remember, and I'm going to get back to my message, but this is free. You remember when it said Jesus took the keys to death and hell? Uh-huh. Satan had those keys. Jesus got them now. And to get them unlocked, to get all these shackles unlocked, all you got to do is just say, Lord, I surrender all. And do more than say, uh-huh, uh-huh. That white picket fence with that little pink dog behind it, that's your teeth and your mouth and your tongue. Yeah, you can do it right here, but you got to live it. Like right now, I believe everybody in here right now, if God had to come take you right now for all of your life, for right now, for the rest of your life, everybody in here probably right now just might go to heaven. Just might. Just my. But you got to take him out of here. You got to take him out of here. You got to take him with you at your house. And all of you just going to get up and go to work in the morning? Yeah, you got to take him to work. If tomorrow's a holiday, that's all right. You still got to take him with you wherever you go. If you go shopping tomorrow, if you go to the MLK parade tomorrow, you better take God with you. Because if you don't take him with you, the devil is going to show up and he got you. And he's not gonna have to wait till you get there. He'll start messing with you on the way. God, what he does, if sin have you oppressed, God will remove the sin in righteousness. And God condemns the oppressor and dooms them to utterly defeat. The devil and his imps cannot win because they are against God. God will judge them. You just leave them alone. You just leave them alone. Don't you try to get back at nobody, at no one. Don't care what they do. You put them in the hands of God and leave the consequences to God. If you leave the consequences with God, you know it's taken care of. Uh-huh. But we want to do it ourselves. We want to be like Burger King. We want to have it our way. We want to see it when it happens. No, just put it in the hands of God. We can realize that God is a redeemer for his people when we think about the stuff that happened to Ruth and Naomi. The Moabite woman. The Moabites were not supposed to even come near the temple of God. They were such a sinful people that God had nothing to do with them. But here comes this little Moabite girl who married a Jew young man and went back to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, with her mother-in-law. And when you read the genealogy of Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. That's why God's getting ready to do a new thing. God's bringing people that ain't got no business being in the house of God and putting them where he need for them to be. Without Ruth and Ruth in genealogy, Jesus wouldn't be like he is. Because he's God, he's going to do a new thing. And we got to allow him to do this new thing in our life. And if you don't believe God will utterly defeat oppressors of people, most of you know the story of the Exodus and the Ten Commandments. Especially if you haven't read the Bible, you've probably seen the movie. The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. And most of us remember the scene where all the children of Israel walked across on dry land. After they walked across on dry land, the Egyptians started to follow them. And then God told Moses to stretch out your rod and close the water up. And those that you see today, you will not see them anymore. But now, when you watch the movie with Charlton Heston, they show you Pharaoh sitting up there on his horse. Go back and read it. Pharaoh said not a one of them was alive. Pharaoh was not alive because the Bible says not a one of them. If he was with them when they went out, he didn't go back. So now that's why you need to read the Bible and not just take everything you see on television. I know that's how we get our education, is by television and the newspaper, but you also need to throw the Bible in there. You need to read that, and that will help you. So you see, God will defeat your enemy, but you have to give them over to him. Point number two, the Lord will do greater things than ever before for his people. Greater things than he have ever done before. God will perform a new thing in his people's behalf. He will guide and provide for them as never before. Although the cruel Babylonians was holding them in captivity, God will work through other nations of the world to restore his people to the promised land. God can do that. Nations from the four corners of the world of the earth will help Israel return to the land God have promised them. He will be with them through all the deep waters, the trials and the tribulations. You remember Nehemiah, don't you? When he got ready to go back to build the wall, a cupbearer. The man that he talked to was not a believer, but he supplied just what he needed. And Nehemiah said, not in these words, give me a letter so everybody I meet will do what I need. And he said, gave him the name of the man that was over the forest that would cut the trees that he needed to build with. Ain't God all right? God will provide. All you got to do is just walk trusting in him and believing that God can and will do a new thing. Whatever this is in your life, that you don't know what's going to happen to it, I challenge you to surrender and give it over to God and allow God to do a new thing in your life. Some of us, the new thing would be for us to just simply trust in God. Trust God and believe in God that he will do just what he said. You have to trust in him. If you don't trust him, he can't do it. Do the shallow water and the deep waters of your life. God will be there through all the fiery oppressions of life. He will rescue you. He will set you free from all oppression because he is your God, the Holy One, your Savior. Because, and I don't want you to forget this, no matter how wicked you are, but if you're a child of God, you are precious to him. I don't care how bad a child is to mama and daddy. He's still my child. And you won't mistreat or disrespect my child. You might do that to try to do that to me, but my child. And if we, being sinful parents and out of the will of God, parents, how much more do we think God will do just what he said? If you're a child of God, all you got to do is just walk before him. Order my steps in your word. Keep your eyes focused on the cross. When your eyes are focused on Jesus, you don't have time to look where you're going anyway, because you're trusting in him. God will provide just what you need. The Lord promised to guide us day by day as we walk through life, no matter how difficult the path may be. If we believe and follow him, he promised to lead and guide us. All you got to do is remember a little shepherd boy named David and go to the 23rd Psalm. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." But then he said, "He leadeth me and guideth me." You got to understand that God will provide just what you need. He'll look after you. He'll provide a place for you. He'll provide still water. And for a while, I wondered why. When he said he would provide still water, they tell me that sheep will not drink running water. If the water is running, the sheep will not drink it. You got to dig a little place and make a little outlet in it so the water will come away from the running stream so they can drink it. That's what God does for his children. When trouble is rolling in your life, God will ask you to take a little drink, and God have made a little hole for you to come and drink from the still water. By the still water, I lay down and rest. And God, they tell me also that if a sheep is not full, it will not lay down and rest. It got to be fed, and it got to be happy, and can't no trouble be around. If a fox or a dog is around that chase him, he will not lay down and go to sleep, because trouble can easily put him to flight. One little rabbit can stir up a whole flock of sheep. All you got to do in the church is get one hellion in there, one terrible person in there, and they'll tear up the whole church. But you got to get them out. You got to have some Jesus. You got to have to run around. You got to know that God will provide just what you need. And then if you don't want to go to the Old Testament, you can go to John the 10th chapter and read the Good Shepherd chapter where Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd." That means I was there before, I'm there now, and I'll be here after. Another great promise of the Lord is that he will provide for our needs. He will look after and take care of the true believers who follow him. All believers will have the necessity to sustain life until the day of the Lord, until the Lord is ready to take you home. If you're a child of God, he will provide just what you need. God will provide just what you need. I don't know what you need, but God will provide just what you need. If you need food, God will provide just what you need. If you need a job, God will provide just what you need. Don't need one and don't look for one. Just ask God to provide it. You got to be expecting God. God can't bless some of us because we don't expect him to do it. We ask him not believing that he can. Well, God, if you can, if God will, I know it's all right to say it sometime, but your expectations got to be that God will provide just what I need. He will provide just what I need, because he's my Lord and he's my Savior. Point number three, the failure of the people to live before God like they were the redeemed. That's a mistake that we make as children of God. We live like we don't have anything to look forward to. We walk around with our head hung down, our lips poked out 5 miles. We just don't know how we gonna make it. I don't know. But God said, if you need, just ask me. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. If you
You take the first letters, you make ask. You got to talk to him. Listen, everything that God created in Genesis was right there, but nothing happened until God said, God said, God said. When you read it, you find out that God said, it said in somewhere in Genesis that there was not anything for his spirit to move on. And God got down at the water and his spirit moved on the water. Ain't God all right if you get yourself in position? God will move in your life. You got to live just like the redeemed. You can't live beneath. You do live. We do live beneath what God have for us. But he have provided everything that true believers of his need. Oh, Lord. Listen. A lot of the Jews in this time were doing what they were supposed to do. But they were doing them for the wrong reason and the wrong intent in mind. They were doing it just because the law said so. No, You can't do that with God. I talked about me when I said this before, and I say it again about me. Before I sure enough committed my life to God, we were tithing like we were supposed to because my wife knew that we were supposed to do it. We tithed. I didn't grumble. I didn't complain. But I didn't like it. I've told this before, and it's the truth. And I said nothing to her or nobody else about it. But God knew my heart. God knew I was doing it because I had read somewhere an old deacon named Deacon Aaron Jackson had told us we were supposed to tithe. If he gave me 50 cents that week for hanging around him, I put a dime in church. He taught us that. And I knew that. But my heart was not in the right place. My heart was not in the right place. Was God not going to bless you? But I was taking something from myself because I wasn't doing it from my heart. I was doing it from my head. Somebody, in here today, you came because you were supposed to pray, or you were supposed to sing, or you were supposed to read the scripture. Are you supposed to play the instrument? Are you supposed to meet so-and-so here? That's the wrong reason to come. I'm raising my hand. The NFL football playoff is on today. 25, 30 years ago, if I was in church, I was looking at my watch. Because it's now 10 minutes to 1 and I had to come from Baker. I was saying, I sure hope Reverend Randall or Reverend Wingate, whoever you heard him, sit down. So I can go home and watch the football game. It did me no good to be there because my heart was not there. It's not saying that I was not going to receive anything, but my heart. God looks at the heart of the individual. The children of Israel were making sacrifices, making all their tithes and their pledges, but their heart was not in it. And God was looking at their heart. And if he was looking at their heart, and he is their chosen people, what do you think he's doing to you? He's looking at your heart as well. What you're saying? You better get right. You better get your heart right. A lot of us got it in our head. But we don't have it in our heart. We do it because I'm a good person and this is what good people do. Good people gonna go to hell. Okay. As a result of Israel's terrible offense against the Lord, we would expect God's hand of judgment to fall upon them. But instead, the heart of God reached out to them. Listen now, you got to leave your flesh to see this, what I'm fixing to say now. God, in the first part of that scripture that they had up on the screen, you saw where God said, in the 14th verse, he said something to this effect, I'm doing y'all a favor. I'm calling the children of Babylon down here to capture y'all, to take you out your sin. Gonna put them in captivity. And for them to be put in captivity was a blessing, because there they could not continue in their sin. Listen, if anybody ought to know about oppression and being walked on, I'm looking at some people that ought to know. But see, somebody might have think you've been out of so long that you can't go back. I stopped to tell you, read your Bible. These people, the people in this passage of scripture that we read in your hearing today, had been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and God brought them out. And here they are now. He's fixing to put them back again because they walked away from him. God is a jealous God. He says that I will have no other God. If you sin, and sin is your God, and you don't have to bow down to it all the time, you just submit to it. That's bowing down to it. Get sin out of your life. God will not, because you walk away from him and live in sin, he will not refuse to show compassion and love towards you when you turn around. In somewhere in Deuteronomy, I think it's the last part of it, he gives them some chapters on blessings and curses. And Nehemiah reminds God of what he told Moses. When you read the book of Nehemiah, he said, God, you told Moses that you would scatter us. So, but you also said that you would gather us when we come to our senses. Y'all remember the prodigal son, don't you? That's what he did. He turned and walked away from God. But then when he come to himself, it sounds like it was two of them. And it was, and it's a you too, if you're saved, it's two of you. It's a secular you and a save you. When you come to yourself, you become the save you. And the you that's over here in sin, you come to yourself when you say, God, here I am. You leave yourself over there and you come to yourself over here. And when you come to yourself over here, you say, Father, here I come. That's what the prodigal son, he said. He said, I can go home to my father. Servants in my father's house have all the least in my father's house have everything they need. And here I am here hungry. Some children of God are in poverty today because they're living in sin. They're living in sin and they will not leave. Does this mean that they don't have money and don't have? No, but they still are living in poverty. There are people that are rich that's living in poverty because they don't have God in their life. There are people that don't have a nickel or a penny in their pocket, but they're rich because they have God in their life. And see, that's what we only look at what is here right now. And I just bust your bubble. What's here right now is not for real. It's all just a mirage. It's you just passing through. You didn't come here to stay. You just traveling. You are on your way somewhere else. If you don't believe it, watch. Most of you, all of you, going to leave here as soon as the benediction is over. You didn't come here to stay. You're on your way through. You're on your way somewhere else. And that's, we need to make sure our destination will be one or two places. Heaven or hell. No in between. No in between. If you don't go to heaven, you're on your way to hell. And I'm not telling you to go there. I'm just telling you what the real thing is. If we do not expect God to do what he said, it's not that God can't. We are not expecting it, so he do what we expect. It's like most children. If you're a parent and you constantly tell your child you're bad, guess what they're going to turn out to be? Because you have put it in their spirit. Don't tell them. Don't tell them that. Tell them that they are somebody. Tell them that they're somebody. And you emulate that in front of them. You be the role model that they need to see. And a lot of them, there's more y'all than there is me, so I might have to run fast. If a lot of them are no better than what they are, because they're watching you. They're watching you, and they're being just like you. We go up to the schools, and they're always right. 99.9% of them jokers are wrong. They're your child, but they're wrong because they're not taking
they're not taking the respect of the person that's in charge. If the person's in charge are not doing what they're supposed to do, God's going to get them. Mm-hmm. You too, mama. You too, daddy. You too, preacher, teacher. People that do wrong have to answer to God. You have to answer to a higher authority, and God is the higher authority. You might not see yourself answering to him today, but you're going to answer. What's the commercial? Pay me now, pay me later. You will pay God now, you will pay later. And your later is hell if you don't live right. Okay, I'll leave you alone. God put with God sending them to Babylon was an effort to get them to repent and to come back to him. God wants us to be his. He wants to do a new thing in our life. If we allow him to enter our life, he will do a new thing in our life. But we have to allow him to do the new thing in our life. He will not force you to let him save you. He's doing us a favor by saving us. He sent his only son to die for a sinful world. Didn't have but one, but he sent him to die for us. Nothing could do that but the love of people. God loves us. So that's why he wants to do a new thing in our life. But we have to let him do the new thing in our life. And when we let him, then we are saying, God, I give you full reign in my life. You can't give it to him and then take it back. You have to let him have it. And I can talk to you a long time about that taking it back when you got time, because a lot of us do that. And there's not a one of us in here that have not done it. And there's some of us in here now probably still doing it. Giving it and taking it back. If you think you're taking it back, you never did give it. You have to leave it there. And to leave sin, personal experience, it hurts. It hurts. To leave sin. Sin is pleasure. We enjoyed those sins that we were committing. If we wouldn't have enjoyed them and we kept doing them, we were stone crazy. We enjoyed them. That's why we continue to do them. And if you don't watch out, if you don't stay with God, and you think you can do it just a little bit, there's no little bit of sin. It's like being a little bit diabetic. You can't be a little bit diabetic. You either is or you ain't. One of the two. You are saved or you ain't. One of the two. You have to know where you are. And God can confirm where you are by how you live. How you live. Not how somebody else think you live. How you live in front of God. And you can be a secret believer for a little while. Not for a long while. I think God pacifies us, I think. He let us be a secret believer for just a little while. But then you have to come out and you have to let everybody know whose side you're on. You got to tell it. You have to tell it. And you can tell it more by your lifestyle than you can by your mouth. Show people that God is doing a new thing in your life. I'm through. But let me. When trouble comes in your life and it seems as if there's no way out, you have talked to God, and it seems as if God's not listening to you. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Stay on your knees and continue to talk with God. Yes, sir. While you are talking, do something unusual. Listen. Listen. Because while you are talking, God just may be talking too. And you have to listen to him. to him all the time and you don't ever listen to him, you will not know what he's saying. And sometimes you will be talking to God and you will look up and you will see the buzzers flying around. You will wonder if the buzzers are waiting on you to die.
Follow.
Stay on your knees and continue to pray. And pray. It seems like every time you look up, there will be more buzzers flying around. More and more flying around. Continue to pray and forget about the buzzards. Forget about the buzzards, because the buzzards will hover. They tell me, and y'all remember where we are, they tell me that if you want to fool a buzzard, just lay down on the ground in the wide open spaces. Just lay down and we stay there for a while. And the buzzard will come. So I'm back at it now. So if you keep praying, go in to pray one day. And you come back out and you look up and the buzzers are gone. You don't know why they came. You don't know why they left. But you need to know one thing, that whether the buzzers are hovering, staying, are coming, you need to continue in prayer. Because prayer is the link to heaven. All you computer whizzes know that a link is to take you someplace else to find some more information. This link is to take you to heaven so you can find out what God has for you. If you stay in prayer, God will feed you. No matter how long the buzzers hover, and they will hover. But you need to stay in prayer. If we allow God, he'll do a new thing in your life. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, this will be your time. This will be your time to allow Jesus to do a new thing in your life. God can do a new thing in your life only and only if you allow him to. Hallelujah. Yesterday, because we are in a new day. Will you come to Jesus just as you are? Don't try to wait till you get everything straight. You cannot straighten out your life.